Big smile here this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. You may return to your seat. How many love our worship team? Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And also this morning, amen, before I read the scripture, amen, we have a yesterday, like Brother Josh was saying, we're at the Run for Hope luncheon, and we have the top givers so far, or the people that have raised, amen, the people that have raised the most finances, amen. Joe is still in the lead with 1,028, amen. And then I'm right behind him, amen, with 839. Then Sister Maria, amen, with the sticky giving. She got up there in third place, amen. Then Gracie's there, amen. And then my wife, amen. So, amen. We want to continue to raise up funds for world missions, amen. We're excited because on September 29th, amen, mark your calendars, September 29th, I don't know if they have a Run for Hope flyer, but you can put it up there if we do. And September 29th, we're going to be at Keys Park, amen. And we're going to be there in the park in Oak Cliff. And we're going to be taking over the whole park almost, amen, probably off a big portion of the park. And we're going to have all the Victory Arch churches from New Mexico, Colorado, amen, Texas are all going to unite right there at the park, amen, on a Saturday morning, September 29th. And it's going to be great, amen. It's going to be great. It's not just, I know some of you say, well, I don't want to run. It's not just a run, amen. It's also going to be, you know, a walk. It's also, I think they're also going to even have like a hot dog eating contest or something, amen. So if you're on the other side of the spectrum, amen, come on, somebody. You don't like to run, but you like to eat. Come on now, amen. There's going to be a competition for that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Amen. We're going to have entertainment, Christian music. Amen. Rap music. All kinds of great stuff. Amen. And it's going to be great. Amen. And we're excited. Our elder is going to be with us, Pastor Tom Vasquez. Amen. Amen. And his church. It's going to be a great time. Amen. Ride for Hope. We're going to cycle for you. If you can't run, you want to ride your bike, you can ride your bike. Also, you can bring out your ride. Amen. You got a Lolo. You got a motorcycle. Amen. Bring it out. Amen. It's going to be a great, great festival. Amen. Fun for the whole family. Amen. So September 29th. Amen. Mark your calendars. But if you want to be a part of the run, then you got to register. There's going to be prizes. Amen. You can register your kids. There's going to be a kitty K. Amen. They're going to be giving a lot to the kid that raised up the most finances. The kids that raised up the most finances are going to get a Nintendo Switch, a PS4. They're going to get great games. Not just the top, but there's going to be all kinds of door prizes and gifts for those that are raised up finances. Amen. They're going to give away bikes, all kinds of great things. The kids are going to love it. Amen. And then also, of course, for the person that raises up the most finances within our multi-region also is going to get a prize. Amen. And then us as a church, if we get first place, we get a prize. Amen. Amen. We get a prize. Amen. They give we get a prize of a gift card of $1,500 for our media, and our sound. Amen. That's how last year we got our piano through that, because we won, I think, what, third place. So they gave us, I don't know, $500 or $1,000. Amen. And so we were able to purchase a new piano. Amen. And so it's always good, amen, to have a good little healthy competition, amen, praise the Lord, even amongst each other, amen. Joe thinks he's in the lead, but he really ain't, you know. I'm just letting him sit up there, amen, praise the Lord. I got a little stash, amen, and, you know, I'm going to come up behind him at the last minute, and bam, amen, praise the Lord. So, amen, let's get together, amen, get behind Run for Hope. It's a great cause, amen, and we're excited, amen, for Run for Hope, amen. And we also got some things planned, amen, coming up for our church, and we're going to be raising finances, amen, for world missions, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me get to the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I know you're tired of standing, but it's okay, because I got to stand longer. Amen. Come on, somebody. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. I titled this message Kingdom Leadership. Kingdom leadership. We're going to read five verses, amen. I really could use the whole chapter, but I'm just going to have time to go through five verses here this morning. Verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 12. I titled this message, Kingdom Leadership. Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me, and I have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. Bow your heads. Father, let's, Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you would help me articulate and convey this message the way you've given it to me. Father, I pray that your people would be attentive to your word, that your word would land upon good soil, and that every heart would be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, I pray that you would, God, raise up strong leadership, God, kingdom leadership, through this message and through the many messages that will be spoken behind this pulpit. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This chapter here is known as Samuel's farewell speech. Again, I was faced with the difficult portion of Scripture to expound on. But when you pray, how many know God speaks? Amen. I enjoy speaking systematically, and let me tell you two reasons why. The first reason is because there's less pressure on me. There's more pressure that is put on God and His Word. What I mean is that I don't have to struggle as much on what to preach on. I trust that God's Word alone is sufficient to change lives. Somebody once said this, the word of God is like a lion. It doesn't need no one to defend it. Just let it go and he would defend himself. The second reason why I like to teach and preach systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that's systematic preaching, is because the temptation to throw stones during my message is minimized. Because I'm sticking to the script. Anything that may seem like a stone is simply the conviction of God's word to that individual. Wow. Whenever I preach systematically, you know, it's more of me, you know, having to rain on myself, and I don't have to, you know, pick on people. Come on, somebody. You know, because the word of God does that by itself. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know, somebody said, my pastor used to tell us all the time, why don't people read the Bible? Because it's a constant slap in the face. Whenever you read the scripture, man, it just deals with us. Amen. But the individual that gets convicted should have enough conviction and wisdom to see that the conviction is coming from God's word.
Yeah.
If that person doesn't, then it will be the word that offends them and not myself.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a tickle your ear preacher, and I'm not here to cater to anybody's needs, and I'm not afraid to offend. But as preachers and pastors, it's very tempting to use the pulpit to vent. But it's important that we stick only to preaching God's word.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean it may not happen over this pulpit. Remember that I'm flesh and blood. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Pray for pastor. Amen. I'm flesh and blood like you, like just like you. And venting might slip out. Amen. It might slip out. And at that time, you need to just say amen. Come on, somebody. And forgive me. Amen. Come on, somebody. A lot of times God will use venting even to bring conviction. But as much as it is within me, I'll stick to the word of God and to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is leading me to say. I titled this message here this morning, Kingdom Leadership. Because as I read this chapter, I couldn't help but to see that the emphasis here in this chapter is a review and a glimpse of Samuel's leadership as the prophet of Israel. Samuel is old and gray now, and he is coming to terms that he is about to die and go to heaven. How many know we're all going to die and go to heaven?
Amen.
You know, that's one of my famous lines when I witness to unbelievers, especially the family. I say, listen, you know, you're going to die one day. And you're going to have to stand before God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because how many know the unsaved, they have a tendency of just living life like they're never going to stand before God.
Amen.
And you know, it's one thing that when you see family, come on somebody, you have family that's not saved and you visit them and it's like, it seems like they're having a great time. It even seems like they're blessed. And they are blessed because how many know God is a good God? And he causes the sun to rise on the righteous and on the unrighteous.
Amen.
It's a beautiful day to the saint and it's a beautiful day to the sinner. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, so sometimes you would go around the unsaved and it may seem like they're blessed. And maybe they are blessed, you know, and because God takes care of them, you know. But nevertheless, you know, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And we're going to have to give an account. You know, for Christians, the only thing that Jesus is going to see, that God is going to see, is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Our sins are going to be blotted out. Our sins are been taken away because of the blood of Jesus. But we still will be judged.
Right.
We will be judged according to how we served God. We're going to be spared. We're going to be saved. But we will be judged on how we serve the Lord.
Yeah.
It's called the judgment seat of Christ.
And
whether our motives were right before God or unrighteous before God, whether we did before God, was it done with a pure heart because we love God and we love people, or was it because we had a big ego, we had a lot of pride and we wanted to be seen, or because of selfish gain? So we will all stand before God. We will all stand before the Lord, you know. And so Samuel here, he's old, he's gray, and he knows he's about to die. He knows he's about to go to heaven. So, you know, he gives this farewell speech, so to say. He's thinking about his legacy. What will be said when he is gone? Or how will he be remembered? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how you will be remembered after you're gone? We're going to go. I know people don't like to think about it. I know we don't like to think about our exiting from this planet, our exiting from this world. But it is a reality that we all have to face. We're not going to live forever.
Amen.
Hopefully the rapture comes before that. Come on, somebody. Come on now. Amen. That's why I like to marry people. And I say, you know, till death do you part or till the rapture hits.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. But, you know, do you think about how you're going to be remembered? How are your children going to remember you? How are your friends going to remember you? How, you know, is the world going to remember you? How is the church going to remember you? How are people going to remember you that are left behind? That is your legacy. And this is what Samuel was thinking about. He wanted the matter to be clear that he led Israel all those years with integrity of heart and with the fear of the Lord. That's what Samuel wanted to be known by. That's what he wanted to be remembered. That's what he wanted his legacy to be. That he was a leader that had integrity. He was a leader that feared the Lord. That's the type of kingdom leadership God is looking for.
Amen.
A leadership of integrity. A leadership that fears God.
Amen. Amen.
He also gives this speech out of a concern of their conduct once he is gone. Will they continue to serve the Lord? Or will they return to their backslidden ways? You know, one of the greatest tests of a leader's impact or effectiveness is not how his followers are when he's around, but how they are when he's not around. That is the greatest test of leadership. Everybody's on their P's and Q's when pastor's around. Come on now. Everybody's on, you trip out on your kids, right? Everybody's on, your kids, if you're a single mom, I tip my hat off to you, But, for instance, in my house, it's like, sometimes I get home and my wife says, I'm glad you're home. Come on now, And I'm like, wow, you're glad to see me, She's like, no, these babies. Come on now. Amen. And when I come in, when dad walks in the house, it's like, they're all at attention. They're all being nice. Oh, but when dad's not around, they're trying to run mom to the ground. Can I hear the mom say amen?
Amen.
Now, you single mothers, I tip my hat off to you because you put your foot down. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you're like, I'm mama and I'm daddy and you're gonna mind somebody. Can I hear the single mom say amen? And, this morning as I talk about kingdom leadership, it's important to understand that it's not just about leadership in the church. That's important. But kingdom leadership is leadership in your house. Leadership in the home as a father, as a mother. Leadership in the community. Leadership at your job. I believe that every Christian should be a leader. Because, listen, we're ahead of everybody because, we're not going to hell. We're going to heaven.
Come on.
And we're all called to lead people to Christ. And there should be a difference within the Christian, within the man of God, within the woman of God's life, that there should be a difference between us and the saint and the sinners.
Yeah, yeah,
that we should lead, that at our jobs, they want to raise us up. They want to make us supervisors. They want to make us managers. They want to make us bosses. They want to make us crew leaders. Why? Because of our conviction to live right and to honor God and to have integrity and to be honest and to be truthful. And every boss is looking for an honest man, an honest woman. Every boss is looking for somebody they can hand the company keys over to so that they can lighten the load off of their shoulders. And so therefore, every man of God and every woman of God should be getting raised up at their job.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But if they raise you up at your job, make sure they give you a pay raise also.
Come on now.
Come on now. Amen. Huh? Come on, somebody. You know, the greatest test of a leader's impact is really when he's not around. I heard a funny story this week. I was talking to one of the congregants and they were sharing a story about, I think it was on a gang night. And they said, it was a gang night and it was before a gang, I think. And I showed up to the gang night, to the service. Before that, the youth were kind of running around. Everybody was running around and, just kind of playing around or whatever. And then I pulled up to the park and I start to walk up to the church. And they said, Pastor, you should have seen them. They all ran to the altar and started lifting their hands and getting on their knees. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. She's like, they're like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. How many know I got some work to do? Come on, somebody. Amen. The test of effective leadership is not just when the leader's around, but when the leader's not around.
Amen.
Jesus and his disciples did great things within 3.5 years of ministry that he did while he was on this earth. But when we study the Gospels, what we see repeatedly is Jesus preparing the disciples for his advent, when he would be crucified on the cross, shed his blood and died, buried and resurrected. But then after he was resurrected, he would be taken away into the sky to sit at the right hand of the Father. He would constantly be preparing the disciples For when he was not going to be around, he would no longer be with the 12 or the church physically in this world. He would no longer be with the church physically or his disciples physically. And this is where the rubber would meet the road. I'm hoping my my notes are not out of order here this morning. Amen. So, but this is the test. This would be the test. Once he was taken away, this is where the rubber would really meet the road. Will everything that he had been pouring into them these 3.5 years, will it pay off? Would they continue in his word with his mission and vision, or would it all fall apart? Well, we can see today that it didn't fall apart.
Hello.
Jesus' leadership was so effective that even in his physical absence, the church grew. The gospel has spread all over the world. It's been over 2,000 years, and Jesus' leadership is still influencing millions all over the world. Why? Because Jesus had kingdom leadership that was effective, not just in his presence, but much more even in his absence.
Yes, right.
Kingdom leadership is not just a present leadership, but a long-lasting leadership that will stand the test of time. I want my children to serve God long before I'm dead and gone.
Amen.
Huh? Come on, somebody. I want Victory Outreach Grand Perry to go on long before I'm gone. Come on, somebody. I've passed by churches and they have signs that say celebrating 100 years. I know that their original pastor still ain't with them. Come on, somebody. He's buried somewhere. Amen. Come on now. Cremated or something. Amen. Huh? He's gone. Amen. He's looking down. And the church, the building's still there. A lot of times, sad to say, is that they have a great old building, and it may be a big building, but when you go inside, there's no life. Listen, I want our church after 50 years, after 60 years, after 100 years, that the church is still vibrant, is still growing, is still going forward, even in my absence, that there's another fired up preacher, that there's another fired up pastor, that there's leaders in the house still pushing the gospel forward and taking the city for Jesus.
Amen.
As a father, it's not just good enough that our children are obedient in our presence, but much more in our absence. What will be the legacy that we leave behind? Some people leave the legacy of addiction, of immorality, of gangsterism, or mafiaism. Some people leave that legacy. They leave, you know, daddy was a gang member, son's a gang, the grandson's going to be a gang member. You know, I seen the movie Gotti this week. It's a movie called Gotti from the gangster John Gotti from New York or Chicago, wherever. And there's a movie that came out, and I'm a history buff, but I also like those type of movies. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, I like it because of the message too. You know, and there was some powerful nuggets that I got from that movie, because one thing about it is that we're not into gangsterism or mafiaism, but you know, one thing that the mafia had, some of them had, and they really didn't have it, but they thought they had it and they said they had it, was loyalty. But you've seen their loyalty fall apart real fast when Sammy the Bull started to rat on John Gotti. But I seen the movie, and this guy Gotti, you know, this guy Gotti wanted his son to be like him.
Yeah.
They even come out with the documentary, and his son comes on the documentary, and Gotti had got locked up in the 90s or something, and he was years in prison. And his son, you know, his son started to follow in his footsteps. You know, his son started to fall in his footsteps. He had an older son, and he was Gotti Jr., and he started to fall in his footsteps, and he was even a mafia guy. But then when he started to get caught up and was going to prison, he was going to go to prison for a long time, they tried to throw to him a deal to kind of get less time. And he was like, you know, man, I want to get out of this. But of course, you know, the mentality that his father had was that you don't cooperate with the police. gangsters, mafia members don't cooperate with the police. And so his son went to go talk to him, you know, because, you know, it's mafia. So you just don't get out of a mafia, you know. So he had to go talk to his dad himself. And I'm telling you in the movie so that you don't have to go see it. You can go see it. Amen. It's pretty good. I mean, it's about mafia. It's not too crazy. Amen. Don't take your kids, though. Amen. But it was good. And this guy, God, he wanted his son to be like him. In other words, he wanted the legacy of mafiaism to live on.
Wow.
Huh? It's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Amen. I've seen dads give their kids a sip of beer and think it was cute. Or blow weed smoke in their kid's face and see them get high, spin around and fall and laugh.
Wow.
That dad was me. That dad was me. Huh? Imagine if I would have kept up that pattern, what legacy I would have left behind.
Oh, no. Yeah.
What legacy would have I have left behind? If I would have kept up that pattern, that would have meant, you know what? That would have meant that Frankie and Timmy also probably would have been potheads and gang members, but I thank God that I broke that curse. I thank God that I broke that generational curse upon my children and that my sons and daughters don't have to be that.
Amen.
And that when I'm gone, they will continue to serve God.
Yes.
As a church, my success as a pastor is displayed more in my absence than in my presence. Sure, the church can function and flow while I'm here at the helm. But can it function and flow, but not just flow, but even grow when I'm not at the helm? But when the trained leaders and congregation are taking over and taking responsibility for God's house and his ministry. There's gonna be many times where Sylvia and I may not be here because we are ministering elsewhere or even at a training or just being separated so that we could be refreshed in God's presence.
Amen.
How many know we got to be refreshed and hear from God as your pastors?
Amen.
Huh? Listen, I'm no dummy, amen. I know that I can't do it all by myself. This is why I preach about leadership. This is why I teach, I disciple, I train on leadership. Because listen, I cannot, me and my wife cannot do it by ourselves. Neither are we doing it by ourselves. We are not here by ourselves. Many of you help in the ministry. Many of you do things in the ministry. You do Bible studies. You hit the streets. You disciple. You are on the worship team. You serve in the children's ministry. Why? Because we're not doing it by ourselves. We're not the Lone Ranger.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. There's going to be time. We're not always going to be able to be here. But do we have leaders? Do we have a church that can carry it on even in pastor's absence? Come on, somebody. Because even though pastor may be absent, Jesus is present.
Amen.
See, it's those times that everything that we put inside of you to love God and to love people and have integrity and work hard at your post is going to count. It's those times when it's tempting to slack off or to goof off because pastor's not here. But remember, God is still here.
Amen.
And he is watching and seeing if you will continue to serve him with all your hearts.
Amen.
How many know we serve God?
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this morning, this is what Samuel was kind of dealing with. He was giving his farewell speech, and this is what he was concerned with.
Good.
How is the kingdom going to continue when I'm gone?
Oh my, come on.
You know, when you read the Old Testament, you know, you think, well, it doesn't talk about the church, but you know what it does talk about? It talks about the kingdom.
And
the thing about the kingdom is this, is that, you know, eventually we're going to go full circle back to the kingdom.
Right. Yeah.
God has instituted the church in this era. In this era.
Right.
You know why? I often ask myself, why? Why does a church, and why is God doing things like he's doing in the church right now? Through the pastors and through the leaders and through servanthood and through sacrifice and through obedience.
Wow.
You know? It's because, you know, God is training us for when the kingdom of God is here. It's here already. But God is training us so that when that day comes, when Jesus returns,
amen,
the rapture happens, he makes all things come back to him, that listen, it's not just going to be about a church, but it's going to be about the kingdom.
Yeah.
And listen, you know, I've often wondered why, you read the book of Revelations and it says that once the rapture takes place and once we're all in heaven, it says that the devil's going to be let out one more time.
Right.
After all the sinners are put in hell, after all the sinners are put in hell, we all go to heaven, the Christians as saints, God is going to allow, he's going to let the devil loose one more time.
Wow.
Huh? And I'm wondering, why are you going to do that? And why is he... the devil's going to do what he does. The devil does what he does. What does he do? He tips. He wants to get people to fall. Huh? Come on, somebody. And I said, why would you do that? It's because I believe God is still going to be pruning. And you know what God is looking for? God is looking for people's hearts.
Yeah.
Do people have an obedient heart? Do people have a real love for him? Are they the real deal?
Wow.
Huh? And he's going to be pruning. Even though we've already in heaven. Come on, somebody. Huh? Some people may fall away. You know, I don't know. It doesn't really clearly say. The scripture doesn't really clearly say. It may be just to prove to the devil that, listen, the church is not going to fall away.
Right.
But the point is this. It's here and now where it's the training ground within the church. And what God is doing is he's training. He's discipling. He's seeing who are the Christians that are really going to be obedient to God. And he knows. How does he tell that? If you can be obedient to your Samuel, if you can be obedient to your spiritual leader, then you will be obedient to Jesus in the kingdom. You will be obedient. And there will still be elders in the kingdom. There will still be leadership in the kingdom. He said that we're going to rule together with him. Study the scriptures. It's right there, my friend, that the leaders, the elders, he will have elders that will help rule the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So kingdom leadership is important. And to be a kingdom people that walk in obedience with God is important. And this is why there's leadership in today's church. And the leadership, sometimes they ask you to do something. And your response is vital, not just to the church now, but to your future.
Wow.
In heaven. God is looking. God is, this is our training ground. This is where God is, he's getting all that disobedience and rebellion out of us. And he uses the church.
Amen.
He uses leadership.
Good, Pastor.
And so the absence of leadership is so important. Will the people still carry on the vision? Will we still serve the Lord? Will we still build the kingdom of God?
Amen.
This morning, I want to give you 7 kingdom leadership principles. 7 kingdom leadership principles. I hope you take notes because it took me a while to write these notes. And I won't want my writing to be in vain. So I hope that you take notes because it will bless you and it will help you to be a good leader.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to give you 7 kingdom leadership principles from the life of Samuel in these 5 verses. Verse 1 says, Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. The first kingdom leadership principle is leadership listening. Leadership listening. Samuel listened to God, but he also kept his head to the ground to hear what the people said. He never allowed the people to move him unless God said it was okay for him to move.
Wow.
That's important that as leaders, that first of all, we got to first and foremost listen to God.
Right.
We got to first and foremost listen to God through prayer, through being spiritual, through listening to the preachings of the Word of God. And so Samuel learned how to listen first and foremost to God. But then also, Samuel, he also kept his ear to the ground to listen to the people. A good leader learns how to listen.
Amen.
But even though he listened to the people, he never allowed the people to move him unless God said it was okay.
Yeah.
We remember when they first came to Samuel and they started to say, Samuel, Samuel, give us a king. What did Samuel do? He went to God in prayer.
That's right. Amen.
And then God says, give them what they want.
Amen.
But imagine if he would have said, man, you're crazy. Get out of here. Not listen to them.
Wow.
He probably would have never went to prayer.
Wow.
And he probably would have never heard God say, listen to them.
Yeah, that's right.
But because he kept his ear to the ground,
come on.
He kept his ear to heaven, but he also kept his ear to the ground. He was able to be sensitive to the spirits moving and to what God was doing, and he was able to make the right decision.
Amen.
A good leader listens with the wisdom of God. He allows God's word to be the filter to what he hears. God's word has to be that filter. Because how many know we're going to hear some crazy stuff? You're going to hear some crazy stuff. You're going to hear some crazy teaching. You're going to hear some crazy stuff. And you have to filter all that stuff through the word of God.
Right.
Amen. When we say listen to the people, it's more about listening to their needs.
Yeah.
Especially their spiritual ones.
Yeah.
It's important. A good leader will hear people out and will hear, and they'll listen to their struggles. They'll listen for their needs. Oh, I see that this person needs Psalms 119. Oh, I see this person needs to pray and fast. Oh, I see this person, what they need is to go to the streets. Oh, I see this person needs to get closer to this leader. Oh, I see this person needs to go to church more. Why? Because you're listening to the needs. You're listening to them and to the struggles that they have, and you begin to position them and to place them wherever you hear they need. As a leader, you can't always be moved by the people to give them what they want. See, that's what the world does. The world does that. The world does that. The world gives people what they want. The world, see, if sales for Big Macs are up, then guess what? All of a sudden you see a big Big Mac commercial. I tripped out, with my phone or Facebook or something or internet. You know, I'll say, man, you know what, man, I want a hamburger. And all of a sudden, a hamburger commercial comes on my Facebook feed. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, I exaggerated a little bit, but something like that, right? Huh? And it's like, man, you're listening to my conversation. Huh? But the point is this. It's giving you what you want.
Yeah.
That's what the world does. Huh? If you leave it up to man, man will want sin and the flesh and the things of this world. We must filter everything we hear through the word of God.
Amen.
Everything we hear, we must filter it through God's word. For up and coming leaders, we must understand that good listeners will make good leaders. If you're an up and coming leader, you got to be a good listener. Because listen, good listeners will make good leaders. I learned what did I learn to do in East Dallas? What did me and my wife learn to do in East Dallas? We learned to listen.
Amen.
We learned to listen to our pastors. We learned to listen to our leaders. Even sometimes when we didn't understand. You know, we learned to listen. I'm here as your pastor because I learned to listen to my pastor and my leaders. Even when I may have not always understood, I still sought to listen and try to understand.
Yeah.
A lot of times, understanding doesn't come till after you obey. I learned that very early on in my conversion, in my walk with Christ. You know, I didn't understand a lot of what the Bible or Christianity was. Like, I didn't understand, why do we got to give? Why do we got to give? Why do we got to tithe? And then still, I didn't understand why. I just said, you know what, man, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to tithe. And I started tithing, and then I started getting blessed. I started getting blessed. Why do we got to give? And I said, man, I'm just going to give. And then I started getting, I seen God bless my life. And I said, oh, now I see. Now I understand. So a lot of times, understanding doesn't come till after you obey. Sometimes your pastor is going to share with you, well, you know, you should do this. You should do that. Like, why? Why? Then you do it. And then all of a sudden, man, I feel good doing it.
Amen.
Man, I feel God doing it. Man, I feel on fire doing it. So how do you listen? I got A, B, C, and D on how do you listen. A is listen intently. Listen intently. Be engaged. Don't be a person that, you know, that you're not engaged when you're listening. Listen intently. You know, as a church, when you come to church, you got to listen intently. You got to listen to it. You got to fight the temptation of falling asleep. Come on, somebody. Pastor ain't always going to yell. Come on now. Huh? Come on, somebody. So you got to learn to listen intently. Listen with your ears. Listen with your hearts. Right? B, you got to learn to listen with your eyes. Listen with your eyes. What is listening with your eyes is reading body language. Listening with your eyes is looking at the actions of your leaders, looking at the actions of your pastor. You watch their exampleship, and you're not just listening with your ears, but you're listening with your eyes. You're listening to what the model that they have set before you.
Amen.
Amen. How many know that actions speak louder than words?
Amen.
See, how do you listen? Not like this. Come on now. You're just like right there. You're just like right there. Hello. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that's good. And there you are. Huh? Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Put down your phone.
Come on.
Don't be distracted by social media.
Oh, yeah,
you can't listen when you're scrolling.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take me out to eat, come on, somebody. You're going to hang out with me. Amen. Leave your phone at home.
Yeah,
I've been around leaders sometimes, and they come around, and then they're like this on their phone.
Come on.
I'm just like. I guess they don't want me to pour into them. And sometimes even if I'm not saying nothing, you're supposed to be listening with your eyes.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be, what is pastor thinking? I remember I'd be up around my pastor, and there's a lot of times he wouldn't be saying nothing. But I'd be like, what is he thinking? I know he reads my mind. Let me try to read his mind. Right? You gotta, this is a distraction of today. Before we didn't have this. Back in my day, we didn't have Facebook. We had MySpace. Moco space. And I didn't even know how to use it, you know. So, and we didn't even, it wasn't on this. Come on, somebody. You know, we had to go on the computer and log on. You know, come on, somebody. So if we learn to be good listeners and, you know, and be good and just listen and sit there, you know, at the feet of our leaders and let them pour into us and be a good listener. So you want to learn to listen intently, listen with your eyes and put down your phone.
Good.
The last one, listen with an open heart. Listen with an open heart. You know, in order to listen with an open heart, you have to trust. You have to trust God. You have to trust your pastor. You have to trust your leaders. Because so many times when we talk, sometimes we get the...
Yeah.
The lifted eyebrow. I can't do it. You know, I got chubby cheeks, so it's like it doesn't seem like it's lifting, you know. So I got to go like... Right? In other words, a lot of times when we talk, we get the lifted eye. Like, huh? Listen, if you're going to learn to listen, you got to learn to listen with an open heart. You got to trust. It's so important that you trust. You trust your teacher. You trust the Lord. You trust God. You trust your leader. Because when you trust, you're able to listen with an open heart. And you know what happens when you have an open heart? God can do open heart surgery. God can clean up that dirty heart. Why? Because our heart has been dirty by all that tobacco smoke. Hello, somebody, of the world that we've been puffing in. And we have a black heart. Come on, somebody. But God says, all right, because if you learn to trust me, I can clean that heart up. But I need you to listen. I need you to trust. I need you to have an open heart so that you can listen to what I have for you.
Amen.
Right. The second thing of kingdom leadership is not just learning to listen or leadership listening, but it's raising up leaders. That's what we see Samuel did.
Amen.
He says, now you have a king as your leader. Mm. Why? Because I listened to you.
Yeah.
You said you wanted a king. I gave you a king. He raised up a leader. Kingdom leadership is all about raising up leaders. Samuel was making sure. He was making sure he wasn't going to leave a gap if the Lord took him soon. This is not the easiest thing to do, but it's one of the most rewarding things to do.
Yeah.
Because it lessens the load on you, especially if you raise up a great leader. Raising up leaders has everything to do with listening to God, because it's God that should be the one speaking to the leader to raise up another leader.
Amen.
To raise up leaders, me and my wife have to listen to God to make sure that we raise up the one that God says.
Yeah.
See, that's what Samuel did. He raised up the man God showed him. Right? He didn't just go pick somebody. He didn't. We studied the scripture. He waited for God to speak to him, and he raised up Saul, who God showed him. We can't just raise up anybody. We got to raise up the ones that God shows us to raise up.
Amen.
That's what Samuel did. He raised up the man God showed him. A sign that shows that it's not easy to raise up leaders from the scripture and from Samuel's life. A sign that shows that it's not easy to raise up leaders, and Samuel, if you're listening, sorry, buddy, is this. Samuel himself, he really didn't have a good disciple to take his place. Samuel really didn't have a good disciple. When you look at the scripture, you study it, he really didn't have a good disciple to take his place. So God had to give him one. Because how many know God always has a ram in the thicket?
Yeah.
He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh. And Samuel, he was a great leader. He was a great leader, man. He feared God. He was a man of integrity. But you really don't see that he discipled somebody to take his place. Because remember, his sons were wicked. You know, his sons, man, they started to cheat. We studied that, how even his sons, you know, they were like Eli's sons that, you know, it's like, man, they started to do shady stuff. And Samuel wanted his sons to take over. But the people looked at him and says, man, let me tell you about your sons, man. They've been bribing people. They're not like you. Huh? They're not like Samuel. You're a man of God, but man, that's the proof that, listen, if Samuel had a hard time doing it, man, come on, somebody. Huh? But listen, in our ministry, Victory Outreach, the proof is in the pudding that we have raised up leadership. There's no way we can be in all these countries in the world. There's no way we can be in over 40 countries around the world if we did not know how to raise up leaders. We're a ministry that knows how to raise up leaders. This church knows how to raise up leaders. We have good leaders in the front row. We have good leaders on the front lines. Great preachers. We have good leaders, my friend. Listen, we gotta continue on that track of raising up leadership.
That's right.
See, raising up leaders is not always the easiest thing to do. So God provided. I know that God is Jehovah, our provider. But if we can provide, then we must. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jehovah, he is our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. But if we can provide, then we must. Let there never be a day where we can't produce a leader. Because lack of discipleship. Because that's the bottom line. We must raise up leaders through discipling them. And we must disciple them right. We heard the verse Josh shared on Friday on how the Pharisees made disciples, but Jesus said they made them twice the devils as them. How many know that's not good discipleship? We don't want to make disciples that are twice the devil as us, my God. I want to make better disciples. I want you to be better than me. I want you to be better than me. I want you to go out and start a church and grow it faster than me. I want you to preach better than me. Man, I want you to do better, man. And I believe God that God is going to raise up. He's going to raise up some powerful leaders, some powerful preachers. You can preach circles around us, but that's all right. I'm going to say amen on the front row. I hear my spiritual sons preach the gospel, and they make me proud because they come with some solid messages. That's the message the other day with Irvin on scars, a solid message. Josh on Friday, my God, man, people don't even throw money on the altar when I preach, my God. But man, why? Because they have solid messages. They're great preachers. But it's just not about preaching. It's about leading. It's not about what we do behind here. It's about what we do down there. Come on, somebody. But people respond to their messages. Why? Because they see their life down there. Huh? So we need good leadership. The third thing is that we need is longevity leadership. Longevity leadership. Samuel tells them in verse 2, I have been your leader since my youth. I have been your leader since my youth. And now he has a head full of gray hair. I'm getting a couple gray hairs, man. My wife was in the mirror. She's like, oh, you can see that gray hair. She's talking about me. Amen. Right here in my chin. Chinny chin chin. Anyways, amen. I'm gonna go on. Amen. Stick to the script. Amen. But this one, Samuel had longevity leadership. He tells them, I have been your leader since my youth, and now he has a head full of gray hair. Samuel stuck it out as a leader to the people. He didn't quit on God and he didn't quit on them. This is important because longevity leadership builds trust in the people towards the leader.
Yeah.
You know, when there's a leader that's been around for a long time, people trust that leader. They should trust that leader. Come on, somebody. There's some leaders that are untrustworthy because they do untrustworthy stuff. But when there's a leader that, man, is trustworthy, that leader's going to stick. If a leader's doing untrustworthy stuff, eventually he's going to find himself booted out by God.
Hello.
Come on, somebody. Because God loves his church. Amen?
Amen?
But when a leader is doing things right, man, all of a sudden people see the faithfulness of that leader. Man, you know who they come to counsel when they're having problems in their marriage? They come to that leader. Because that leader's been in it for the long haul. How many know we need some leaders that are going to be in it for the long haul?
Yeah.
Somebody once said, your faithfulness makes you trustworthy to God. Faithfulness is key here. God needs faithful people he can count on. The church, the people, and your pastors need faithful people they can count on. God is looking for men and women that will be in it for the long haul and that will be all in. I read this. I read an article on Fox News yesterday, a Fox News article from a pastor writing about today's church. He writes this. He says this in his article. Only 39% of active believers, only 39% of active believers, not inactive, active believers, consider the Bible as the literal word of God. Only 39% believe that this is the real word of God.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. The condition the church is in. And then he says less than 20% of professing believers follow the biblical principle of giving.
Wow.
Less than 20%. That means only 20% people probably tithe. Huh? Only 5% have shared their faith with a non-believer.
Wow.
More than half of all church members attend church once a month or less. These are people that are church members, but they only go to church once a month or less. How many thank God that's not you? Amen.
Oh,
yeah. Casual attendance and the belief that others will serve, give, and share the gospel are tearing down churches across our country brick by brick. As believers, it's time that we are either all in or we get out. That's what this pastor's saying. The title of his article was this. You know, he was talking about, I'm not even going to give it to you because I'm going to let the devil lie. Amen. But it was a heavy title. The truth is, he goes on to write, the truth is, if we don't feel passionate about something, we don't do it. If we don't like something that happens in the church, we find another one. If the spiritual practices don't fit our lifestyle, then we don't do them.
Wow.
This mindset permeates our I want it now and I want it my way.
Wow.
Culture. This is the culture that we have. A mindset that I want it now and I want it my way. And it's enforced through social media, through website choices, through TV options, and countless other platforms that have risen in prominence in our lives.
Wow.
This is not the way God intended the church to live.
Right.
The pastor goes on to say, the local church isn't a building, it's a body of believers fulfilling God's purpose in our lives.
Yeah.
When these believers approach their individual involvement and commitment in a casual manner, it weakens the entire body of Christ.
Wow.
And the impact we are called to have. As a result, we lose, and so does the local church. God wants us to win, to thrive, to fulfill our potential in Him. We will not experience the abundance He desires for us until we quit our current approach and we are all in. Once you go all in on generosity, serving, outreach, discipleship, and the other biblical behaviors laid out in His Word, then look out, because God will rain on your life with His blessings like you've never experienced. Jesus felt the church was worth dying for. It should be our mission as Christians to value living for it. This is was on Fox News, on the article. I said, wow, that's heavy. It caught my attention because I'll give you the title now. It says, the pastor's telling people to quit church. And I said, what? Let me go see what this knucklehead's writing about. And then I started to read it. I said, oh. In other words, he was saying, unpassionate people, get out, because you're hurting more than you're helping. You know why? Because people come in and they see you serve without passion. They see you serve without passion. They see the leaders without passion. They don't have no passion in them. They don't have no passion in their ministry. They don't have no passion when they sit. They don't have no passion to pray. They don't have no passion. And listen, and it makes the church look weak. But we wonder why everybody wants to go to the club. Oh, because in the club, oh, they're dancing with passion. Oh, they're drinking with passion. Yeah, another one. Yeah, another one. Oh, they're doing it with passion. Oh, but in the church, he dad believe it. In the church, in worship, instead of like this, we're like this. And people come in and they're like, that's a bunk. Why would I want to go there when I can go to the Cowboys game? Huh? But yeah, yeah, over a pig flying across the sky. Huh? Why do I want to go there when I can go to Six Flags and put my hands in the air on the roller coaster? Yeah! Why do I go to church? Huh? I have to be a passionate people. Passionate people that are have longevity, faithfulness. And we're giving our all to God. Yeah. We're giving our all. When you're passionate, man, you can't wait to get into God's house.
Yeah.
The fourth thing, accountable leadership. Samuel was accountable. Listen to what he says. He says, here I stand. Samuel was saying, hold me accountable. If there's something I have done, then show me.
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't above correction that was right. That was right, because some people will try to correct the leader, but they're wrong. Huh? He stood before the people and he says, hold me accountable. My life is an open book. My life is an open book. Then fifthly, he had bold leadership. Bold leadership. Why do I say bold leadership? Because it took boldness to do what he did. Here I am. Have I cheated anybody? Have I took advantage of anybody? Come on, tell me. Have I done anything shady? That took boldness. Huh? It took a boldness. He had bold leadership. It took a boldness for him to stand before the people and be willing to be held accountable. See, leadership requires you to take bold steps. Going out on a limb. An example was like Friday, right? Friday, after Josh preached on giving, I made a bold move to challenge the church to give more. And I'm going to do it again here this morning. Huh? Because it takes boldness. Huh? To give more. After I made a bold move to challenge the church to give more after they had already given during the offering and during the message. That was bold because many times people get offended when you ask them to give. As leaders, God is going to ask you to tell the people to sacrifice their time, their talent, and at times the things they love the most. That will take boldness, my friend, to execute God's plans. Kingdom leadership is not for the chavalas. It's not for the buckety back. Huh? Kingdom leadership is a bold leadership. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's going to take a boldness to be like Samuel, to do what Samuel did, and to have a kingdom leadership to stand. To stand your ground, it takes a boldness. Sixthly, is honest leadership. Honest leadership. He didn't cheat people. He didn't take advantage of people. But he led with integrity of heart. He says, look, have I cheated anybody? Have I taken a bribe? Have I said, give me something and I'll turn the blind eye. I won't turn you into pastor. Come on, he didn't do that. I won't turn you into God. We'll let you. Have I? You don't know, my friend. What happened? He had an honest leadership. He didn't cheat people. And leadership, we're not talking about just leadership in the church. We're talking about leadership in the home, leadership in the community. Amen. If you're a supervisor, you're a leader at your job, you have any type of form of leadership, you got to have honest leadership.
Right.
You can't take advantage of people.
That's right.
And the last thing is clean leadership. Samuel in verse 5, he says this: "You have not found anything in my hand. You have not found anything in my hand. My hands are clean. They're clean." In other words, he gave no one room to point the finger. Leaders can't be messy. People might be messy, but leaders must be clean.
Amen.
A clean house and a clean heart. Clean house and a clean heart. Some might have a clean house, but a dirty heart. We got to clean both. Somebody once says this: an unkept lawn is an indicator of an unkept house. Huh? I said, uh-oh, I didn't go do my lawn. My desert.
Hallelujah.
I'm still watering the mud, y'all.
Amen.
I got my wife to join me now. Spiritually speaking is this. It's the same thing spiritually speaking. That's why we dress up for church.
Amen.
We dress up, not down.
Come on.
You dress down, you feel down. You dress up, you fill up. Some churches dress casual on Sunday. A lot of times, you will find casual Christians fill those churches, going to churches in their chanclas. You'll find those churches full of casual Christians, full of hundreds and thousands of people. Those Christians casually serve God. God didn't save us just so that we can have a casual relationship with us. No. He is passionately in love with us, and we should be passionately in love with Him. And we are passionately in love with Him. When we are passionately in love with Him, we will passionately love people, and we will passionately serve people and serve God. That right there, my friend, is kingdom leadership. Standing your feet here this morning. God didn't call us to have a casual relationship, but a clean leadership. A clean leadership. In the world, we dress down. But now we come to God. We say, God, I'm going to give you my best. When I get to church, I'm going to give you my best worship. I'm going to give you my best offering and tithe. I'm going to give you my best attention. I'm not going to walk out in the middle of the preaching. I'm going to give you my best.
Amen.
I'm going to come and I give you my best. And you know, when we come to God, you know, come as you are, leave changed. Come as you are, leave changed. God is not saying to give something you don't have. When I first came, I didn't own a suit. I didn't own a tie. I didn't know, you know. Joe came up to me and said, "Nice shoes. They're Stacy's." I didn't have a pair of Stacy's. I had some Chucks. Hello, somebody. Some Nikes, some Dope Mans. Huh? I had some Dickies. Some Guess, some Jabots, polo shirt. Come on now. Tommy Hilfiger. I didn't have. But then my leaders started to come up to me. You got a suit. Oh, I don't have one. I'll get you one. Matter of fact, I got some suits in the car if you want one. See me after service. You can have it. I'm not saying I'm guilty. But I was like, man, I never wore a suit before, man. I don't wear one of those things. I'm going to choke. I said, but you, man, that does look tight, man. It looks tight. I said, yeah, man, you dress up for God, man. Dress up for God. Yeah, dress up for God. Some people, they would go up to him and they would say, well, I don't, why? And they would argue with them, and, you know, and it was hard, you know. Sometimes you don't want to offend people, but we have to disciple people the right way. Other churches, they let them go with their chanclas and their jeans, and that's other churches. That's them. That's if they want to have that casual mentality, that's fine. That's them. They're not going to go to hell for it. They're not going to go to hell for it, huh? But I think that we should give God our best, and we should put some effort into it.
Amen.
There needs to be put effort into your serving God. Because if not, we're gonna come one day, and we're all gonna be casual, and it's gonna be like, oh man, well, what's the difference between the club and the church? What's the difference between the club and the church? You know? There's a difference, my friend. We used to have a saying, Jesus on the inside. It was a song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I look around and I see many of you, man, how you came in. You didn't come in like that. Huh? I remember Mike when he first came from California. Huh? And I still deal with him sometimes, but he didn't come in like that. He had a Cali shirt, Cali hat. I said, Orale, Cali. Put that Cali stuff away, homie. Huh? Right? You ain't set tripping no more. Huh? Here's a suit. Here's a tie. Oh, I don't wear ties. You gonna wear one now, buddy? Well. Look at them all looking spiffy over there. My color. It's time to get suited and booted. We're not a gangster no more.
Come on, amen.
We're a changed man.
That's right.
Yeah. We're a changed man. Men of the home, we teach you to wear ties. We teach you to wear ties. Wear a suit. Got some suits for you. Huh? You know something about it. It's not spiritual. It is. You know? Because it makes us feel different. It makes us feel different. Like, man. And believe me, I'm not saying you got to wear a suit and stuff. You know, I'm not saying that. But if you're going to grow and you're going to get raised up, there's going to be after some changes. If you can't change the outward, how is God going to change the inward? If you cannot change the outward, how is God going to change the inward? Sometimes we want to be stubborn. We want to fight. We want to fight the system. We want to fight the system. Remember, God is preparing you for kingdom. If God can't put a suit on you on Sunday, how are you going to react in the king in heaven when he wants you to put a white robe on? Hello, somebody. I'm not sure, but the Bible does say they're dressed in white robes. Huh? What are you going to say? Oh, no, I'm keeping my dickies on Jesus. I'm keeping my chucks on Jesus. See. Really? Cast the servant out to outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matter of fact, Jesus told a parable about the wedding. Remember that one? Remember that one? And then he said, go invite people. And the people didn't want to come. And they came back. They brought a report. It says, these people didn't want to come. He says, how dare them? They won't come then. Go to the highways and the byways and invite all the bums and invite all the street people and bring them in. And tell them they're invited to the wedding banquet. And they brought him in. And it says that he was going around greeting people, the master of the banquet. And he says he went to one guy that was there, but he didn't have wedding clothes on. And he says, friend, you were invited. I was gracious enough to invite you. You're not even dressed. Yeah. He says, he got the bouncers. Get this guy out of here. Right. You think about that. You think about that. And it's like, you know, yeah, it's spiritual, but it's also physical.
That's right.
There has to be a standard. If the judge wants you to dress up when you go to court, and he's just a man, how much more than we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You say, man, respeto. Respeto, God. Amen. I will have a clean leadership. Clean leadership. These are principles of leadership. Now, that's just a little side note that God gave me. When we talk about clean leadership, is that we have to have a clean heart. We have to have a clean heart. A clean heart will receive these things. A dirty heart will be like, nah. But a clean heart, a pure heart that says, you know what, it makes sense. It makes sense, man. You know, that's all I'm at. Have an open heart. Have an open heart, man. And I know I've been where you've been at. I came in rough, gang member, a blood, Oak Cliff homeboy, drug dealer. I didn't like nobody to tell me what to do. I didn't like that. What do you mean tell me? What do you mean I got it? What? But that was my dirty heart. Because I had pride. I had rebellion. A clean heart has obedience. So you know what? I'll be obedient. I got to learn. If I'm going to obey God, then I got to learn to obey man. gotta learn to listen. If I'm gonna listen to God, I gotta learn to listen to man and have an open heart. And I learned to listen. I learned to be a good listener in East Dallas. That's why I'm here today as your pastor. Because I learned to listen. Take these principles. Write them down. Study them. Chew on them. Pray on them. Pray about it. Something you're pray about it. Meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit give you revelation. Lift your hands right there where you're at. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, God. This morning, if God spoke to your heart, if God spoke to you this morning, I'm going to open up these altars. And I'm going to ask you to come. Spend some time with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is looking for leaders. Leaders in the home. Leaders in the home. He wants you to be a leader, Dad. He wants you to be a leader.